Let's see.
This conference is being recorded.
Yeah, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and welcome. This is April the 12th, so we're going to be talking about business building tools and mistakes to avoid, and I'm here to answer your questions. The main reason for this call is to, you know, be available to you, answer questions, give you new insights, and I would love to hear your questions, what's going right, what you need help with. So, yeah, I know, Daron, you had your event that you just had speaking. Can you give some feedback on that, how that went?
All right, we had about 30 people that showed up.
Wow.
And it was the first event I did that was people paid for it. And it went well. I thought about my part and didn't have any my book's not finished yet. But I do have people that are going to purchase it.
So did you
once it's out.
Yeah, did you get sort of pre-orders or get names of people who want it?
Yes, I got names of people that want it, and they're definitely going to buy it. And I actually have a client who's already bought 20 copies.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's such a great feeling to have pre-orders so you can get paid for your book as you're writing it, as you're completing it. Yeah, that's great. Congratulations. How much did you charge for the to get into your seminar?
We charged $35.
Wow.
And the seminar was only about 2 hours long. So it was a great learning experience to go through the whole process of getting people signed up and interested and finding out the time of the year when it's good to do it, and also, you know, learning how to do it with different people involved, not just myself.
Yeah.
So it was a neat experience.
Yeah, that was great because you were, and just organizing the whole thing, right? Sounds like it was a
right.
lot. What did you learn about, did you do any, have a resource table after you spoke and have a chance for people to come back and talk with you about your coaching and products, that sort of thing?
Yes, I had a table in the back and, told people about everything I do. And I've actually gained 4 clients from it.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool to see how people responded to the motivational aspect of training and getting involved with, just being more aware of their goals and what they want to accomplish and seeing them motivated. It's really neat.
Yeah, wow, getting 4 clients from one event is fantastic. Yeah, that is great. So how did you do that? Did you talk about your coaching while you were during your talk?
Yeah, after my talk I offered, a coaching package for people to sign up for.
Oh yeah, what did that include?
It was a MP3.
Mm-hmm.
Custom MP3 and evaluation, the one-on-one evaluation.
Uh-huh.
And, those 2 things. And then I also gave a MP3 download of my Beyond Your Game program.
Oh, yeah.
So I gave that away. And, people love it. So, it's all coming together.
All right. Yeah, that's fantastic. So that's great. Were you able to, I was just curious with collecting payments and stuff, did you just take a check or cash, or are you able to take credit cards?
I was able to do all 3 of those, but most people just wrote a check.
Uh-huh.
And, just gave me a check. They had checked on them, so.
Oh, great.
Easiest thing to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's fantastic. So, congratulations putting that all that together. And, Yeah, when you get your book done, I'm happy to do a book review on my website and help promote it for you, be your cheerleader.
And sure, yeah, and definitely you wrote the foreword, so I'm going to send you a copy of it.
Yeah. That would be great, sure. Put some
It's on the final edit, so I'm very fortunate, an English teacher, that's a client of mine, that edited it, and I think this is their 10th or 15th time editing the book.
So. Oh, yeah? Wow.
A lot of editing.
Yeah.
I realize it, but it's great.
Yeah, it goes through a lot of, there's many levels of editing, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's great that you have some. Yeah, I can't beat having an English teacher for an editor. that's perfect. They catch all the little things like the commas and the periods. And
you don't realize, or all the commas need to be and the periods and how you're supposed to use punctuation and all these little things that matter. And she just, ripped up my paper. She's like, nope, this comma's wrong here, and fix that and this. But, you track it to your life once you put the idea on paper and with generating things, people will come to you.
Yeah, that's true. Fantastic. I'm so glad, Duron, that you're able to put that seminar together and use these performing edge techniques and get your book together. And wow, get four clients from the seminar. That's huge. Even just getting one client is a big thing, but four is like four times as much as I would expect. So that's great. Is someone else joined us? Is that Tanya?
Or... Yes, it's me.
Oh, hi, Tanya. How are you?
Finished with a meeting, so I joined late.
Oh, fantastic. Good. How are you doing? What are you up? You want to sort of just give an update what you're doing with your coaching and all and your business?
I kind of both corporate and the sports side kind of working. So there's a different opportunities in each way. So I started working with the staff of a new, a new client, an equestrian facility, and also just came off of a couple of full-day training seminars with another coach doing with a corporate client on how to be an effective leader. So
great.
That was a really good experience.
Yeah.
And it was with field people from oil and gas. So it was a totally different client than I'm used to dealing with. So it was neat. It was really interesting.
Yeah, the oil and gas companies, they have plenty of money and income to pay you, right?
Yeah, but this was their, field managers, so the guys who worked, manage the rigs and things. So
uh-huh.
It was quite interesting. It was neat to... they really were receptive to the material, and we kept it interactive and things so that they would stay interested.
Yeah, how did you keep it interactive? Since we were talking about speaking techniques and all, and did you ask questions or?
Yeah, we were smaller groups, so the one day we had 15, 16 people,
mm-hmm.
and the other day was 12. So we could really get them interactive and put them into groups, and they dealt with different scenarios, and we played games. So we played, in order to demonstrate the qualities of a high-performance team and how it works, divided them into groups and had them play a form of Pictionary.
Oh, yeah, I love that game. That is a fantastic game.
So they divide into, they were in groups of three. And so at first, each person, they'd have 5 minutes, and each person would take a turn drawing a picture. So they'd go one after the other, so everybody would have to draw, and they did it a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And we let them have so many passes, and things, and then they had another round of doing that, but they had less passes. And then in the third round, they had to pick who was going to draw. They had to set goals as to how many they were going to get right. So it was goal setting. So it demonstrated all the qualities of the high-performance team because they had a strategy and they had roles and leaders and they had had practice and they had to really listen. They had their form of communication and they had fun and a whole list of other, you know, other qualities that go into being a high-performance.
Wow, that's great. Did you come up with that exercise yourself?
It was something we came up as a company, as a group. Uh-huh. I've also done it with the young soccer players that we did it as charades instead of Pictionary.
Oh, yeah.
So I did it with like 10, 11, 12-year-old soccer players.
Uh-huh.
And they really liked the charades. Type aspects and the same kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great for kids. So, for sure. Oh, yeah. That makes it makes it so much fun. So it's great. You have a real variety of the kinds of things you're doing.
And we did a thing on time management where you have like big rocks, which are your top priorities, and smaller rocks, which are all the little things that it takes to achieve those big priorities. And then sand, which is all the routine little things throughout the day. And then water, which is the extra things, say, like surfing the internet or texting or talking, like all the extra little things.
Yeah, like flowing.
And
Yeah.
And the only way you get to fit in all your big priorities or the big rocks is if you put them in the jar first.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they don't fit, and you have to choose and say, what are you not? What are you going to leave out? What are you not paying attention to?
Yeah. Is that...
whether that's health or family or whatever.
Wow.
So, yeah, they love the activities in the game.
Is that for the kids or adults or both?
No, this was adults.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's nice to have people... we probably did this, you know, one model is to... break into small groups, have them do the exercise, and then have each group, small group, report back to the large group, say, okay, so what was your experience, and have each sort of one leader from each group report back and share with the whole group, and then you as the facilitator can kind of put that into perspective and answer questions and... So that's great. Wow. I can imagine being there. That must have been a lot of fun. Yeah, that's great. So you, do you have questions? You or Daron, any questions about things that are, or anyone else on the call, anything that you'd like me to, like help with, or anything that you'd like to do better?
I think, a question that I have that I think, is kind of what Tanya was talking about is making the presentations more interactive. Like what, Dr. Joanne, on your end, have you done to get people or kids more involved with the material?
Yeah, that's a good question. First, I think... if you can think about the what I call the IU ratio, so when you're speaking, if you can use more I's and U's and we's in your talk, so saying whenever you have an example, you can say, have you ever thought about this, or can you imagine this, I don't know about you, but here's my experience with this situation. So the more that you can bring the word you in to their that's at one level. So even if they're not speaking at first, they get involved because you're asking them to do something in their minds, or asking them how many of you have ever thought about this. And then ask them to raise their hand. So that's one level of interaction, saying, like a first question, if I was speaking to a group of marathoners, I might say, how many of you are doing your very first marathon? And people raise their hands, a bunch of people. And then I'll say, that's great. Let's give those people an applause. And then I'll ask everyone to clap. And so they're, that's another level of, you know, kind of interaction, asking, giving the group asking them to applaud and cheer on the people that are doing their first marathon, that kind of thing. And then I'll say the second question, how many people are doing your very first marathon? Raise your hands. And then I'll say, how many of you are doing your very last marathon? And then people crack up because it's like the same, that's what makes jokes funny, is if you have the same rhythm to it. They're saying very first marathon, and then you say the exact same words with a very last marathon, people laugh. And so that's another really good level of interaction, is just getting people to laugh about something. And then I'll say, and then I say, that's what you say to yourself during the last, the last 6 miles of the race. I'm never doing one of these again. And then we always do one anyway. And so I just, that's another type of interaction. And then you can do popcorn. That's another type of way of interacting, what I call popcorn, which is saying, at the end of each at the end of each little section of what you talk about, or at the end of your talk, you can say, okay, so what did each of you learn from that? From what's one point or key takeaway that you can remember, something that you'll do, or something you learned from this part of the talk? And just give me one word, one quick phrase, and then you just go around the room. And that's a good way too to do interaction, is to not just stand in front of the room, but every now and then go out into the room. If it's a small group like that, it's really good to do. And okay, so what did you learn? You can actually, a lot of people raise their hand. You can just call on them, go around the room. And then if you have a microphone or something, you can actually just put the microphone in front of their mouth and say, say one word, Well, somebody might say leadership and walk around, and somebody else says, remember to be on time or something. And somebody else says, I remembered from your talk to, the three P's or whatever it is. People can interact that way. So most people are willing to say one word or one quick phrase. Even if they're shy, they'll say something real short to the whole group. And it's a great way of summarizing. You say, okay, so we finished this little section, so now let's summarize, and what did you learn? And then you'll find out, it's great feedback for you, because you'll find out what people did learn, what they remembered, what were the highlights of what you taught, so you'll know next time what to emphasize. And it also gives people a chance to talk and say what they did learn. And sometimes you usually have a lot of times a clown in the group too, somebody who's funny, so they'll say something that makes people laugh, and then all of a sudden you've got some help there. You got somebody else that's helping people to laugh and create more interaction and more fun. And if you find someone like that in the group that's funny and outgoing, you can actually use that person then in the future. If you continue your talk, that person is willing to, create the fun factor and be make comments. And so you can bring that person in later on and say, hey, John, what do you think about this? And they'll probably come up with something else funny. So that's a good way to, have somebody on your side, or create a sidekick, like Dave Letterman always has, blanking on his name, but the music guy on the side there. He always has a sidekick, somebody to say a few words too. So popcorn, that's a good technique. And then the exercises, like we were talking about, just having people pair up and do a quick exercise. And then if they pair up, then you can have each person do the exercise, whatever it is, and then report back what their partner said. So you say, you know, you guys can share, you know, like your list of 10 strengths or something. And then now let's have each group report back what you learned about the other person. So you have person A talk about person B to the whole group, and that way they learn something about the other person there, and the whole group gets to learn as well. And then you go to person B and say, now you talk about person A. So you can do that in a small group, and then that helps people to kind of get to know each other. Let's see, what else? I'm thinking of other kind of exercises or interactions. There's all kinds of things you can do. But another thing you can do is just ask, you know, ask questions. Ask a lot of questions during the talk. You know, how many of you, like, say you want to promote something that you're doing with relaxation or sleep or something, and you could say, you know, how many of you have trouble sleeping at night? You know, a lot of people answer their questions. Or how many of you have trouble getting to sleep, and then how many of you have trouble staying asleep? So you can, you know, ask those questions, and then people will raise their hand, and then, you know, sometimes, or ask, what interrupts you? Why do you have trouble sleeping? And then people will share. So just asking people to kind of share their experiences. I think you have to, it's tricky with interaction, though, also, that you have to be careful with, you know, not too, you know, if you get somebody that's really long-winded, sometimes they want to sort of take over and, you know, they can take you off track with what you're talking about. So it's good to, you know, kind of keep a pulse on that and, you know, and just be able to get your point in, or just be able to gently stop someone and say, okay, that sounds great. Let's go on to the next person, or here, I want to summarize something, and so that you kind of take control if you sense that someone's, you know, talking for too long. Have you had that experience, either you guys, with your groups?
I've had that experience, not in a doing a talk, but in other sitting in other talks.
Uh-huh.
Where somebody just keeps going on and on and on and on, or keeps asking questions, and it's like, okay, we got you.
Yeah, exactly. Next.
Yeah, there's always that one person that, or laughs at everything. They just happen to laugh at everything you say.
Yeah, and sometimes they have a terrible laugh.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's good to be able to manage that and say, okay, thanks, let's move on, you know, because if you're the facilitator, you want to be able to, because sometimes you have facilitators or speakers don't, you know, they just let the person go on, and it's everyone else is sort of falling asleep. Yeah, and it can be frustrating. Yeah. Tanya, are you there? Have you had that experience with your groups and all? It sounds like you do a lot of facilitating with someone sort of going on.
Yeah, even this on Monday, we had one really expressive guy who was quite a bit younger than the rest, and he was trying to make himself kind of a focal point, and he was not really... I mean, he was questioning a lot of things we were doing. So, yeah, you had to, treat him with respect and things, and still find that way to control the session and the conversation and redirect and take something he'd say and then ask somebody else by name for their feedback, because he would always want to give his feedback for every question.
Yeah, right.
So we... You know, so we'd have to say, okay, let's hear from someone else and get everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
This is an idea. But, yeah, it can be a challenge, even one-on-one with clients, if you get somebody who really just like to talk and talk and talk and talk and get off on tangents. It's the skill to ask them the questions to redirect it back onto the topic.
Yeah, so it's a learning experience to be able to do that, yeah, tactfully, but also, yeah, sort of show that you want to stay on track and, yeah, just kind of saying, yeah, let's get back to our topic here, which is, you know, topic A, and yeah, just to kind of, you know, that's a skill that you learn along the way, I think, and so it's something you, yeah, just have to be, yeah, be aware of, and because a lot of people want to hear content from you as a speaker too, and if there's too much interaction, you know, they're thinking, oh, geez, you know, I came to hear the speaker and came to get some content, but you want to have a balance there. But then again, if it's just you speaking the whole time, then that's can get boring as well, and people lose their focus. So it's good to have your content and then a little bit of interaction, and then it's it's like you want to have something, if you can think of it, like every 7 minutes or so have something like a scene change. That's one thing, like in Hollywood, you think of scene changes. They're constantly moving from one room to the next, or to keep people's interest. And of course, we can't do that when we're speaking, but you can create scene changes by, you know, doing something different than you've just done. Like you could switch to going over a checklist of something, or you could tell a story about something. You could show a video, you could ask a question. You know, those are all, think of them as scene changes. You could do a summarize what you've just talked about in a group. You could do bullet points of some sort and explain each one. Or you could have humor. You know, that's another scene change. You know, a quick a funny story or a quick joke or something. You could talk about a quote, a famous quote from someone, or just a, you know, music lyrics that you heard, or something you heard on TV, and say that quote, and then explain the quote, what it means to you, or why it's important, relevant to this talk. You could, you know, just all those different kinds of scene changes you could do an exercise, yeah, with people like we were talking about here, like those Pictionary. I think that's great, Tanya, that you're doing, and leadership skills and all. You could have people, and another kind of exercise you could do is just writing exercise. You know, just silence. You give people I want you to take a piece of paper and write down, you know, a vertical line down the middle, and on the left-hand side write, you know, your negative thoughts, your self-doubts, the things that come to you most commonly. And so do that right now. So then, you know, you have them write that down. So that's another kind of scene change where you're just having silence with no talking, and people are just thinking and writing, doing something. And sometimes it can be effective while you're doing that to place some music. So if you have a CD player there, or you can play it on your computer, you know, just have some background music, light music to write by. That's a good way to kind of get people into another scene too, writing something down, and then I'll say, now, okay, so now let's switch over, and on the right hand side I want you to write your power words or your positive self statements. Let's take 1 minute to do that, and then you play the music again and have them write that down, and then we'll share, and then do a sharing after that, which is another kind of scene change. So you'll say, share your experience with that, and this is a good way to interact too. Daron, you're asking about how to create more interaction. You can have them coach each other. So you can say, okay, so what did you write on the left hand side of the page? And you know, someone will say, oh, I wrote, I'm always late. And then I'll say, ask the other people in the group, okay, so what could she say to herself instead? How could she coach herself? What's the power words or what's something, a positive self-statement she could say instead when she's saying, I'm always late? And this one person said, well, she could say, well, I could have been later. So, and everyone cracked up. Yeah, it wasn't that late. I could have been even later. So it was hilarious at the time, and people thought that was really funny. Have people coach each other and say, okay, she could say, next time I'm going to leave early and be on time, or whatever it is. You have people. That's a really powerful experience when other people can give suggestions to that one person, and then you're like the master coach, and you can come in and kind of commentate on their coaching. Another kind of scene change too is you can have someone come up, have like a volunteer come up in front of the room and say, okay, here, I want to demonstrate this technique with you and show you a little bit of coaching, how I do my coaching, and have them maybe explain a peak experience of some sort that they've had. And then you would demonstrate how you would create that custom visualization for them, or MP3, and just do a short little coaching there. Sometimes you might want to pre-plan that and say, ask ahead of time, would you like to, I was looking for someone who might volunteer to come up and, do a quick little demonstration. Would you be willing to do that during my talk? And ask them ahead of time, two or three people, so that, so you have one person that's guaranteed to volunteer. Pick somebody that maybe that's not too long-winded, and you can demonstrate that. So that's another thing you can do that's really powerful. One of the most powerful ways you can demonstrate your coaching is to actually show people right there what you would do with that person. Sometimes it's better to know the person a little bit ahead of time so that you know what you're up against, since you don't want to get stuck in a situation where somebody's like revealing their whole life, or wanting to do psychotherapy or something in front of the room. You want somebody that's just that has something that's that you can work on real quickly. So that's an idea too, to do a little demonstration of something. If you have a quick technique you could show or something there, then everyone else looks at that person and they they can kind of project their they project themselves into that person and say, wow, that person, this coach, Duran or Tanya, they could really help me with that same issue or with my issues too. So that works well. Sometimes you can do it with like three or four people coming up in front of the group and have each one say whatever their, some kind of problem or some kind of technique that you're doing, and it's like you're coaching a mini group, and you say, okay, may I coach you? Here's what you could say instead, or here's what you could do. And so you give them little techniques along the way. So does that kind of make sense? You guys, what some of the technique, Duran, is that helpful for different interactive techniques?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I was just curious to see what you've done from all the years of speaking to engage your audience, how that would help us.
Yeah. So there's so many different ways, and I think it makes it a lot more fun that way. Makes the time go faster, and gets people. I've really found too that the more people can interact with you, the more they will buy from you. The people that ask questions and the people that have a chance to really interact, 9 times out of 10, I found those are the ones that come to the back of the room to my table and say, "Hey, I want to buy your book or your get coaching from you or get your CD set." There's a direct correlation there from the interaction to those people becoming your clients and customers. So think about it that way too. If you can have them interact with you during the presentation, then they're much more likely to want to work with you, to follow up with you afterward, because they know that you're approachable and they know that that you can handle their questions and handle their issues, and that you care, and there's just a much higher level of you know, that exchange there that you can work with when there's, you know, when you have that interaction. So I'd say really go for that as often as you can. You know, think of it as like presenting one little topic or issue and then say, okay, how can I do something? How can I bring this home to them? You know, do like a particular point. You know, one way to think of it is, you know, present a point of some sort and then do a quick story or an example of that. And then with that, you can do, here's three tips of how you can implement that. And here's an exercise that we can try to, you know, to work on that, work on this point or this topic. And then here's a video I'll show of how that works, you know, kind of thing. You can show a video or a slide of how that works, whatever it is you're trying to present. And then go to the next topic or the next point of wisdom and do the same thing. Here's the point or the principle, and then here's a story about it. Here's some tips. Here's a let's do an exercise, and then a video or a slide, some sort of visual, and then the last thing is a summary at the end of that point. So here's what here's the point to learn from that, and then go on to the next point. So that's a great way to structure a talk as well. Something like that. So you put, so people kind of get into a rhythm and they think, okay, here's the next tip and so, or point, here's what we're going to do with that. So that they're not just thinking, oh, this talk is going on and on and on, but there's fun stuff we can do with this. And then a chance for Q&A and stuff. One good point is you never want to end on a question at the end. I think it's, you know, you can take like questions at the end of a talk, but it's good to always have your ending point, your summary or your closing prepared. What is something, you know, kind of a powerful point you want to make at the end, and you want to be able to say that so that you end on a positive note. Because sometimes a question, you never know with questions what people are going to ask. And you might have somebody that's asked a negative question or kind of it goes on too long or brings people down. And you don't want to end there. But so you want to say, okay, I take before I do my closing here, our final point, we'll take a few questions here. So you tell people that you've got something else coming that you can close so that you're in control of what happens at the end, and you leave them on a really powerful note. And then it's good to tell them your, you know, give them your what it is that you're offering to, and but don't end on the sales note. Just do the sales part first, and then do your closing right after that. So you end on something, you know, that's just really engaging for them, so they see you as a just someone who wants to help, so they know that whether or not they invest in your offer, that they are getting valuable, usable information from you. And then they'll want to continue to interact with you. So, yeah. Is that helpful, you guys? Probably people are on mute here. But that's good. So I wanted to talk about just a couple of things with, just avoiding scams. I wanted to mention that there's so many things going around that that look so attractive. I think one of our members here emailed me, and she said that she got an email from a company called Perks. Perks Connect or Perks Card, P-E-R-K-S, and the email said looking for a coach, something. I mean, that's a very attractive subject line, right? I mean, you think about that. You most people who are a coach would want to open that, and you think, oh, it's a client that wants is looking for my business for a coach, and so she opened that, and then and it was this very attractive looking email that said something about, you know, we are looking for one coach in your area, that, and we will give you the exclusive rights to work with our employees of our company, and so that you'll be able to get lots of business, very lucrative. And please contact us, or we'll be. Let me know if you can, if you're interested, and we'll call you tomorrow at this time or something. So she. She emailed me and said, I can't tell if this business is legitimate or not. And I looked them up. What I did, if you want to know if a company is legitimate or not, one way to do that is to type the company name in and then type scam after it. So I typed in, went to Google, and I just typed in Perks Connect Scam. And I could not believe all the stuff. If you go there to Perks Connect Scam, or also they're also called. There was also an email on there that you want to find out. Don't answer the email, but just look at the URL of the email, and it said Perks Card on it. So I typed in Perks Card Scam. SCAM as well. And when I went there, it's just hundreds and hundreds of complaints about this company that it's they do this for all sorts of businesses. They'll send out an email looking for a coach or for photographers. They say looking for a photographer, wedding photographer or something, and they do the same thing. They have this saying we're looking for an exclusive person that can handle all the employees in our company, and but it turns out that they're under investigation right now. They're just trying to get people's money. What they say is we want you to pay us $190 a month for the first 4 months, and then $37 a month after that. Which is, that's a lot of money, almost $800 for the first 4 months for basically advertising is what they are wanting. You pay them that and they advertise for you. But basically they do absolutely nothing with all the reports that I heard and the complaints about this company. They just basically get your money. If you try to call them or email, they don't answer your emails or phone calls. They just basically take your money and and if you try to get a refund, or they don't answer. If you try to call your credit card company and get charge back, try to get your money back from your credit card company, that's hard to do. Most people can't do it because they say to the credit card companies, oh yeah, we're doing everything, we're advertising for this person, and so it's hard to prove anything. So it's just, I just wanted to give you a heads up on that, especially that company, Perks Connect Scam, or Perks Connect. If you hear anything from them or get those kinds of emails that sound too good to be true. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true that they're saying we're going to make you the exclusive whatever coach in our area for this group of employees from a company, and you'll be guaranteed lots of clients. And and we want you to pay this amount of money every month. Know that type that company's name in, whatever it is, and then type scam after it, and do your due diligence, do your research. I just want to protect you from those kinds of things out there. And just overall, knowing that you don't have to pay for advertising, and most of the time advertising doesn't work. There's so many better, much more organic ways and free ways to get your name out there now with blogs. Just doing a regular blog once a day or once two, three times a week, putting a post up of some sort, using the right keywords, using those keywords in our niche, performance, mental training, all of that can really make a huge difference. Get your name up on Google and, doing Facebook and Twitter. And now there's Pinterest is the brand new one. It's like, the word interest with a P in the front is the fastest growing network. And we'll be talking about that too. And, all these places and YouTube, they're all free. And because Google owns YouTube, if you can, make videos even a short video on a regular basis and put that up, that's going to serve you really well, and you can get plenty of exposure and Google love, Google juice, as they call it, just by doing your own organic marketing and using the techniques that we're teaching you in this Performing Edge Coach training program here to you know, get your name out there. And you don't have to pay for advertising or go for any of these scams. If you see an email that says looking for a coach, what I do is I go up to the I don't open it first, because if you open it, they know that you've opened the email, and they'll bother you more. Just go to the top of like I use Outlook. You can view it without opening it, and see who it's from. And if it's not from anyone you know, or it looks like some company that's trying to get your money, then just delete it and don't respond, especially their phone calls, because they're very compelling. They know exactly what to say to try to get you into something, and it sounds too good to be true. If they want you to put up a lot of money up front for something, even the same thing with radio companies. There's a lot of these online radio companies that want you, they say, we're looking for a host to, in the area of sports or sports psychology to be our exclusive, sports psychology expert for this radio show. Give us a call here. But what it is they want you to pay them a lot of money every month to have your own radio show, when basically you can do that for free yourself just by, doing a podcast, just recording something like we've been doing here with Audacity or GarageBand, or, just doing a short recording every week, putting it up on your website and making it a podcast. You've got your own radio show there, and you can put those on iTunes as well. So there's so many. I just want to protect you from those scams out there, and realize that there are ways that you can do this yourself for free. So don't fall for the stuff where you have to, they're saying you have to pay for large amounts of money up front for advertising, because you can, you can do that yourself. Does that kind of make sense? Have any of you had those sorts of emails or, requests, for that sort of thing? I know that another one that comes out a lot is with emails to, look at your website. Somebody that says we'll review your website and, get you high rankings on Google, that sort of thing. And again, those are typically real scams as well, that they want to, pay them, large amounts of money. I had one client that paid $5,000 for, them to, rank your site high or something, and they did absolutely, basically nothing, and they just lost $5,000 for that. Just got a report back saying, "Oh, now your site's a little bit higher on Google for one day or something." But you have to, to get your site ranked high, it's just basically doing things. It's what you do on a regular basis. Fresh content, good quality content on your website. Blogs on a regular basis. That's what Google really loves, and that's what can get your site, ranked high. So just do it that way, and you should be fine. So just wanted to protect you from those kind of things out there. And let's see. One other thing I wanted to talk about real quick was how to... Or was what to say in an email, and I was going to go into some other business concepts too, but I think maybe we'll do that on our next call on April 26. One thing I wanted to talk about this time was, how to respond to an email when someone says, just looking for wanting to know if you do mental training or that kind of thing. Sometimes I think the best thing to do is to just respond with a short email, not a big long one explaining all your services, but just maybe saying, yeah, I'd be happy to help you. Can you tell me a little bit more about your what you're looking for? Ask them a question of some sort, and then and say, can we set up a time to talk by phone? And here's some available times. You can say that, or else say, please give me two or three good days or times for you that are good to contact you. Then we'll make one of them work. So you can do it that way. And just a friendly short email back to them so you don't overwhelm them with information. And then you might send them, sometimes I send them a second email with some content, with actually an article in it. People really appreciate that. So you're not just marketing to them, but you're actually giving them a sample of what you do. So I did that. I got an email from a woman, and she... and she was, I wanted to tell you how to handle resistance, or, you know, someone who's has some questions or objections, not someone who's not quite sort of on the fence and they're not ready yet, or they're not sure. So I got an email back saying, sorry about tonight. Hi, thanks, Dr. Joanne. Sorry about tonight not being able to call back. I was picking up my kids, and I'm not really sure what to do from here. As much as your program sounds like it may be beneficial for me in many ways, I feel like I need to take a step back. I really can't afford any big expenses, as this is also part of the unsettled feeling I have. And then she said, after watching your video, I feel I'm way out of my league, and feel you may be better suited for me when I can actually think more clearly. As of now, my mind is so all over the place, I'm not even sure how to dissect where to start. I'm sorry to have taken your time, and I really appreciate you talking with me. And this is a woman who was a pro triathlete. She was in the top 10 in the Ironman for several years, and she wanted to work with me because she's trying to figure out sort of how to balance everything in her life, how to now still be a triathlete, but how to also have a job and be a mom and do many other things and still, compete in triathlons. So here's the email that I wrote to her just as an example of a kind of supportive email. This is the email that got her to say yes to me. I said, hi, and we'll just keep her name anonymous. Great for client, confidentiality purposes. I said, great talking with you yesterday, and thanks so much for your email. I totally understand where you're coming from. No need to feel that you're way out of your league. We all get overwhelmed, and we all need support. I've been there as a top triathlete like you, both as an athlete and a clinician with family responsibilities. And I have 30 years experience working successfully with exactly what you're going through. I've worked with most every kind of client and psychological situation at all levels. And so here's what I'm continuing to write to her in the email. And I just wrote this from my heart. You know, it wasn't a canned email. It was just something really customized. You want to really think about that person. I said, it sounds like you really need someone to talk to now who understands your situation and some support right now. I know that you talked with a psychologist before or counselor, but it's really more helpful to have someone with an athletic background and with a clinical psychology background who knows what you're going through. That's why I think it would be a great match for us to work together. I think things happen for a reason. The fact that you found me on the internet yesterday and you called just before I happened to walk in the door and I just had a moment to talk. We had that great conversation when you needed someone to talk to. I think it was great timing. And I'd like to be of help to you, and I think I can help you sort things through and create an action plan to keep moving forward and make major breakthroughs in your life so you can regain your confidence and your mental and physical edge, so all the parts of your life can work well together, your triathlon training, your coaching, your role as a mom and a wife. I'm willing to do one session for you at this price by phone so that it's more convenient and affordable for you. Most of my clients say that just one session of my work can make a huge difference. and that they come away with new inspiration and motivation, and they better understand what is going on in their lives, and they have an action plan to keep moving forward. And I create a custom MP3, visualization MP3 file that they can play for the rest of their lives. So, and then I said her name here. Let's call her Linda. I said, Linda, I can do the same thing for you. If you'd like to do just one session, if you'd like to set up a time for a private coaching session, just let me know a couple days, times that are best for you, and we'll make it work. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks, Dr. Joanne. So that's what I wrote to her, and then she wrote back an email the next day saying, thank you, Dr. Joanne, I would like to meet with you. And then, you know, said some other things. She said, your article is lovely and everything I believe in. That was an email that got her to say yes. She says, I really appreciate your email and do believe that things happen for a reason. I'm so blown away by our chance meeting. But also I'm a really simple, practical, realistic person, and I feel I am pretty honest with myself and where I'm at, what I'm capable of. So then she says, you can reach me by phone at this time. So I just want to give you that example of a client interaction by email that got her from, you know, being resistant to actually saying yes. And I'll put this email, I'll just take out the, you know, identifying information for her for client confidentiality purposes, and put this email in our members area there so that you can, just see it as an example or one sample of how to respond to someone. So what I do is, you know, if it's something like that, I just sit down and I take a few moments, take a deep breath, and then I just think about, that person and what they really need for that moment. And I take a moment to really think of a personalized way to respond to them. And I try to make it as, you know, bring in their personal details as much as I can. And then I've got that Dragon voice recognition software. I'll just dictate it into that. So I'm speaking it out and it comes out in text. And then I'll usually save those emails in her file so that I know what works for the next time. So after a while, you gain a sense of what works for each person. So, any responses to that, you guys? Is that the sort of thing that you might want to do with your clients? I think you guys are probably muted, but that's okay. I just wanted to see if you had any questions. Give you that as an example. Also, just quick announcements. Yeah, we'll do our next call on April the 26th, Thursday. And we'll also I wanted to let you know, the replay is in the your members area, the one last time on how to do your best presentation ever, how to rehearse your talk. And also, I put in there, you know, this exclusive celebrity interview I did with Bob Anderson, the founder of Runner's World, last week, and it was a fantastic interview. And so if you go to schedule and just see that right there, I put the replay of that in there. And it's just a really heartwarming, one of the most inspirational interviews and conversations I've ever had with the founder of Runner's World magazine, which has been around for, he's since 1965, we talked about also about the Performing Edge techniques and how he's doing a quest right now. He's done 50 years of running himself. Personally, he'll be 65 this year, and he started at age 15. And he's doing a new movie called A Long Run, and he's actually using me as a sports psychology expert in the movie. A documentary that'll be coming out, and so his quest is to run 50 races and do 350 miles and do it under a 7-minute pace. So do them fairly fast. not just slogging along, but, you know, just really challenging himself. At age 65, that's a big challenge. So he has to do about one race every weekend. So he was looking to me as a way to, you know, to have that some mental techniques that he could use to help him along in his races. And I told him about the magnet technique and how you can put a magnet on the athlete in front of you and, you know, use their energy to pull you along. And he's been using that for his races now and Sarah and the three P's, the positive images and power words and present focus, and using that in his races. And it's really making a difference. So he talks about that in our interview, how those techniques are working for him. And so it's really exciting that and it's a great testimonial for our program that the founder of Runner's World Magazine is using the Performing Edge, coaching techniques. And you can say that, you know, use that as a, you know, in your talks and your work with clients and your promotion for your own business too, to say that the founder, Bob Anderson, the founder of Runner's World Magazine, is using these Performing Edge coaching techniques. And I got a testimonial from him in that interview, and then also a separate one that I was going to put on the website too. So, I just wanted to tell you about that. And then you'll hear his story in the interview about how he he was only 17 years old in high school, just babysitting and mowing lawns, you know, as a high school kid to get extra cash, and living with his parents, and didn't come from a wealthy family at all, but just decided to start a magazine. And I thought, you know, he was crazy about running. He just drew from his passion and was excited about distance running, marathons. But there was no information back then, really, in 1965, no publications on how to do that. There was Track and Field magazine, but there was no information on distance running. So he thought, here's something, I want to get something started here. And he called up his friends that he knew, Hal Higdon and other writers, and got them started, and said, I want to do this magazine. And so they just, and this is back, you know, of course, 1965, when you're just dealing with typewriters. There's no computers, there's no internet, there's no Google. You can't look everything up. So it was, takes a lot more work to get things going. So with only $100 in his bank account, he started the magazine and started, publishing one issue, and then 6 months later published another issue, and then did one every quarter, and just started gradually building subscribers up to 10,000 subscribers, which was amazing back then. And then he just built it up to over 2 million subscribers. And over time, he turned that $100 he had into a $25 million business. And it's just been growing ever since. So he said he never borrowed a dime from anyone. He never had any investors, anything. It was just all just using what he had and hard work and creativity and growing, doing this from his passion, and learning along the way, and just not knowing exactly how he was going to do it. He had no publishing background, just asking for advice and learning and figuring it out every day. He was just totally dedicated to what he was doing. It's just a great example of how when you have passion, you don't, and when you know what you want, you don't necessarily have to know the how. If you have the what, then the how will come. You just figure out what it is you want and what you want to accomplish. And then the technical part, all the details, will come into place for you as long as you keep that vision out in front of you. So, that's a great story I just wanted to share with you. And I hope that's you can listen to that or download it on the website there. And then next time we'll meet on April 26th, and we'll go over more of the sort of business building techniques, and as well as going over some more coaching techniques as well. So thank you everyone for coming. Does anyone have any final comments? Anything that you gained from golden nuggets that you'd like that you got from this call? You guys feel free to share right now before we close up. Yeah, all right. I think everyone's muted here, so that's okay. And thank you so much for coming, and we'll talk to you on in 2 weeks on April the 26th. And in the meantime, I'll be sending you more, you know, more documents and more information with the workbook. And this call replay should be up shortly too. So have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye now.